Blog Talk Radio.
One night Farmer Brown was taking the air, locked up the barn and with the greatest of care. Something stirred when he hollered, "Who's there?" This is what he heard: "There ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself, stop all that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. And kindly point that gun the other way and holler, holler, holler up and hit the hay, 'cause there ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all." Kicking up an awful dust. We chickens trying to sleep and you butt in and hobble, 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 hobble with your chin, 'cause tomorrow is a busy day. We got things to do, we got eggs to lay, ground to dig and worms to scratch. Thanks a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch, 'cause there ain't nobody here but us chickens, done. Nobody at all. So quiet yourself, on that bus. There ain't nobody here but us. They gotta point that gun the other way.
You're listening to Nonprofit Radio, FM 97.3, KZAC LP Sacramento, 104.9 FM, KGIG LP Modesto Ripon, RFM 93.3, KPHD LP Modesto Ceres.
Welcome to today's edition of The Backstory with former Mayor Carmen Sabatino, with news and information you will not read in the local paper or hear on area radio and TV. The Backstory presents an insider's view of what's really happening on a local political scene. And now, let's join your host, Carmen Sabatino, to learn The Backstory.
Well, good morning and welcome to The Backstory. We're here once again with former City Councilman Bruce Froman. Bruce,
good
welcome.
Morning.
Dave Truax is here.
Good morning.
And we had a special request from former Councilmember Froman to start the program out today talking about a subject that apparently he's very interested in. Bruce, what are we going to talk about?
Well, I just got back from staying overnight in the city of Palm Springs, and something rather ironic happened. There's an article in the Valley Citizen about how the water that we ship south ends up in the southern San Joaquin Valley. And there's a farmer of pistachios down there. He owns 300,000 acres. He buys his water from anywhere from $8 to $12 per acre foot to water his 300,000 acres of pistachios. And if he has surplus water from his allocation, and he usually does, it ends up in the Kern Water District water supply. And then the Kern Water District resells that water to the city of Palm Springs for somewhere in the neighborhood of $120 per acre foot. So it starts out at $8 to $12 per acre foot, ends up in Palm Springs costing $120 per acre foot. And then I go down there and I stay in a motel in Palm Springs, and I end up paying a surcharge on my motel room of $3.21 in order to pay for the water I use while I'm in Palm Springs. So it's kind of ironic that the water starts up here, and I go down there and I get charged for it.
Well, it's called monetization of water, and you certainly have given us a very strong example of entrepreneurship.
Yes, there certainly are creative ways to milk the little people, aren't there?
There are.
First they take the water that they get for nothing, and they monetize it, and then they charge us for that water.
So, but when you get the water at your motel, is it on a meter or is it on a flat rate?
Oh, I'm sure it's on a meter.
No, if they, what they charge you, why shouldn't they charge
they
you
charge,
$6?
Yeah, they charge me a flat rate.
Flat rate.
So if, even if I don't use any water,
yeah.
I still get charged that.
Yeah. So there's no point in bringing your own water.
No, because I have to pay the $3.21 no matter what.
Well, people of power and means.
That's right.
And but, you know, I've always felt that water is free. It's the cost of water comes in transporting it.
Right.
So, interesting. Interesting story. Is this something you learned just as you went along, or were there some
No,
articles?
I learned that from reading in the Valley Citizen, an article written by Eric Kane about how the water sales works.
Okay.
About how the water we're shipping south goes to profit private individuals.
So the, if we go to, well, we can go directly to the Valley Citizen site. If you happen to go to the backstory site, there's a button there you can press. It'll take you right to the Valley Citizen site. And we encourage, as they used to say, that's recommended reading. Well, I can't say that's good news, but it's good news that we know about it. And now what is it we can do about it is another matter. So, well, there are some good things happening here in Modesto. Good in the sense that we can report. I think his name was Ron White. He was a comedian.
Right.
And he said, you can't cure stupid.
You can't cure stupid.
I like that. I don't know why sometimes these phrases will stick. I am trying to declare a truce with the bee, but one of the phrases that's always stuck with me was a quote by a former judge, now deceased, so I'm not betraying any. And he said one day, he said, are you sure of your facts, or did you read it in the bee? Now, that's only a little weapon that doesn't mean anything now. But what have you read in the Bee? And at least they covered both stories. And there are two stories that we do want to cover. One is the health insurance fiasco.
Yeah, I was looking at that little flyer you have in front of you there that says that the rates of the city employees was, what, $1,800 or something a year, and their health insurance was going to go up to $8,700 a year. What is interesting about that story is that the average person with health insurance pays that higher rate in the private sector. People pay that much, that $8,700 a year for health insurance or more for their health insurance. That's why so many people around the country are complaining about health insurance, because the rates are so high. And when I saw that the insurance company that they were using was only charging like $1,900 a year for the to the employees, that was way low compared to the private sector. And I thought, no wonder the insurance company can't stay in business. There's no way you can offer health insurance that cheaply and provide full coverage. So it looks like the insurance company that went bankrupt had a business model that was not sustainable.
And they used that model with 119 cities.
Yeah. The other possibility is they charge such low rates with the intent of taking the money, not paying the creditors, and then going out of business.
That's what they did.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Well, that's obviously
exactly
what happened.
Exactly what
then.
Happened.
I would have, had I seen that original contract based on, you know, the amounts quoted, I would have presumed that something dishonest was going on. I would not have signed that contract. Anytime you think you're getting something for nothing, the odds are you're not.
Well, and the, you know, once again, you know, I read the newspaper, I read a lot of Kevin Valens, and the they use phrases like city officials and public officials. And, man, why don't you just give us names? I can't fire a city official unless I know his name. Can't dump a public official
mm-hmm.
unless you know their name.
Well, obviously they're trying to cover up or keep quiet about who's responsible for that.
Well, you know, you can look at the psychology here. We're talking about 700 employees. The other 500 decided not to go with Riverstone.
They were probably happy with what they already had.
Well, I guess they had Kaiser or Pers, whatever, but they had, and probably they paid a little bit more.
They must have been.
Yeah.
They must have been.
And so here the city officials say to their employees, gee, look at the benefits we give you. Not only did we give you a small increase in pay, but we also gave you a real good, cheap health insurance plan.
It was so, good up until they discovered they weren't going to pay.
Okay. But who's going to jail? This is fraud.
It seems like it.
I mean, here you got the city now has $8.3 million in debt. And, you know, we've always preached that you should attempt to pay your debts. Do the best you can to pay your debts. Don't plan on a way to, how can I get out of this? Or, yeah, I'm going to buy a brand new car, and after 6 months, if I can't pay for it, they can take it back. No, you don't do that. You don't buy the brand new car unless you know you can pay for it. And, of course, there are other things that can happen. One of the things that happened here that the city said, well, yeah, we got this insurance, but it's not our fault because the insurance company went bankrupt. Well, it is your fault. Now you're stuck. I think, once again, that figure is over $8 million. Unpaid medical claims. Well, they call it a meltdown of the city's health insurance providers. How about this? Worse. Now, this isn't stupid. I don't think it's stupid. We could say you can't cure stupid. But now they've come up with an even more evil, I think, proposition. They're going to, or I think they already have, I think it's with, what, S&S Corporation? They hired somebody now to go out and settle these claims. So if you have $1,000... as an employee, you've got a $1,000 claim. Somebody will go to your doctor and say, you know, if you cut that by 50%, and then we'll just pay you $500, and the employee is satisfied because the claim is settled. He doesn't have to come up with the full $1,000. But the company that's doing this is going to get 20% of the $500 that the city saved.
The other thing you've got to wonder, too, is if the medical provider feels shortchanged, is that medical provider going to be willing to serve that employee anymore? Or will he need to get a new doctor?
No, they're out of business.
Yeah, the insurance company's out of business. The doctor's not out of business. The doctor gets stiffed. The doctor might not want that patient anymore.
Well, he probably, yeah. Wouldn't it be fair of a doctor to say, I won't accept the city's insurance companies anymore?
I don't know.
I mean, you know.
There's all sorts of side possibilities about what can negatively happen. I mean, you never know from this type of a thing what kind of fallout you're going to get. And it's a real tragedy that this happened in the first place. I wonder what happened to the insurance commissioner, the state insurance commissioner. What are they doing? Are they doing any investigations?
Well, as you suggested, it's something we should follow up on. I don't know what the insurance commissioner could do. I mean, if you're bankrupt, you're bankrupt.
But they regulate the insurance industry.
I know.
And these guys are supposed to register with them. And
I'm sure they did.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a savings and loan that has, you know, federal deposit insurance. That's a different matter. I don't know if something like that exists. Maybe it does. Maybe it exists and insurance companies join it. But maybe it's just voluntary. You don't have to have insurance. Although, and from what I hear, people in the insurance business, they do reinsure to cut their risk. So,
well, the insurance commissioner is responsible for regulating the insurance industry. And if somebody's doing this type of thing, they would be responsible, I would think, for making referrals to the state attorney general for prosecution if fraud is involved, as you indicate.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm quite confident that the insurance city has signed with another insurance company. I don't think they've left these people out in limbo.
Right.
I know. So, I guess let's make the contrast here. Here we've got a city that, you know, I put them in the deadbeat category when they go out negotiating a settlement on behalf of people they owe money to. The city owes the money, and they owe that money to the employees. Maybe the employees' union can take over that negotiation thing and get another 20% on the money.
Well, it's too late now, though, because the council's already hired that other firm, and I'm sure they signed a contract that they won't be able to get out of.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. I think you can cancel insurance, but I don't know.
You can cancel insurance, but you can't cancel the contract for the negotiation part of it, the
20%. Oh, yeah.
I'm sure that's locked in now.
Well, okay, so if it's $8 million and this corporation, they are very, say, we're just great. We can guarantee we'll cut that $8 million to $4 million. Well, then what does this company get as their commission? 20% of $4 million. That's a good contract.
It is. The sad thing about it, though, is we have no way of knowing whether they have done a good job after they get the job done. I mean, we don't have any benchmarks to compare the amount they saved the city versus whether some other effort could have saved the city even more money or less. We have no way of knowing whether this is going to be a good deal for the taxpayer.
However, if I was Doctor's Hospital and you came to me and said, do we want to settle for half? No way. Pay the full amount. And you're going to pay the full amount because you're the city.
No, that's not necessarily the way you do it.
That is the reality. You are the city. Don't tell me you can't pay me. You just go to the people that voted you in the office and tell them they have to pay more taxes. Isn't that a possibility?
Or they could operate like our president does, who says, I'm not going to pay you a dime, so come sue me, and I'll keep you waiting forever for your money.
Yeah.
Or we can enter into an agreement here where I pay you a fraction. So what do you want? You want your money now, or do you want to wait forever?
Well, lo and behold, story broke the other day about city officials are looking at a $33 million luxury hotel in downtown Modesto. These people are not well. The first thing I noticed on that story? First of all, the city council hasn't discussed it. When I saw the figure $49,000, as you remember, Bruce, being on the council,
mm-hmm.
anything below $50,000,
right.
you don't have to bring to us.
Right.
Don't tell us about it. We don't know about it.
Right.
All right. So if we want to find out more, we've got a Friday morning, we got to be downtown at the Economic Development Committee meeting, and that'll be hosted by Bill Zalocki. The mayor, Ted Brandvall, and Tony Mandrigal. Now, those are all heavy hitters in the city council. Why would they even take it? Branville, if he ever wanted to be reelected, should have given it to somebody else. Give it to Manny Grewal. Okay? Or give it to somebody who's going to pay for this, because those three people are going to pay. Zalaki and Madrigal and the mayor. I have a prediction to make. The mayor, if he runs for office, will lose quite heavily, because the people who put him into office have already backed off. They've already decided that they're going to replace him. We put you in, we can take you out. And there are a lot of politicians that I know that reminded me of that. One is, remember Balvino Irizarry?
Mm-hmm.
He's an alumnus of that club. They took Balvino out, and they took their prince, Pat McGrath, and just told him, don't bother running. You know, it's going to cost too much to rescue you. So Friday morning, we'll have this committee, and they're going to discuss this. And this company, I inquired at who's going to make the report, and it's going to be a staff report. I would think we'd have a report from this consulting company that we've paid $49,000 to.
Well, I'd like to know who's actually going to build the hotel.
Well, that's what this company is all about.
There's a company that wants to build a $33 million hotel?
Well, yeah, apparently. Or this consultant is saying, oh yeah, this is going to be...
Did you know that half of the floors in the DoubleTree Hotel are occupied or rented by businesses because they couldn't rent all the rooms out? So now they're going to put another hotel in that you can't fill? Is that the plan?
Who knows? Remember we started the show off, you can't cure stupid. They're going to be stupid twice.
No, I'd say stupid continuously.
Well, continuously. Yeah. You know, we lost $6 million, as you recall. I think Alan Grant, we co-signed for the land. And when the hotel property went bankrupt, we lost that money.
We lost the ownership of the land.
Right.
That was underneath the hotel. That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And now, I'm going to go Friday morning, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and I may just say, you know, let's be stupid. Let's do this. Let's
no,
go ahead.
No.
Well, they're not going to. No, what I'm talking about is, they're going to discuss doing this. I'm wondering if it's going to be like the airport scams, where, remember, we got visits from airlines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to do it. You know, give us $25 million or give us whatever it is. And don't worry, when we run out of money, we'll leave you.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, we need your subsidy. I have to admit, when I was in the council, we did, we subsidized them to the tune of, what airline was that? Western or?
It was a subsidiary of United.
Okay.
I don't remember the name of the line.
But I remember we bought $25,000 in tickets.
Right.
That was the extent of our subsidy.
Right. And then I was supposed to fly in a business trip to Washington, D.C., and they canceled the flight, so I canceled my trip. That's how good the service was out of Modesto. And that's why the service eventually failed, because...
They give you your money back?
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
But if they don't give you reliable service, you're not going
to
use them.
I bring that up to you, because if they really wanted to get you, they would have given you a free trip on an airplane to anywhere, and you would have had to resign from the city council. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yes. Yes, it's a law coming from the progressive movement in California.
Mm-hmm.
When we were in Washington, D.C. for the mayor's conference right after 9/11, and we took the bullet train, whatever they call that, from Washington to New York to Ground Zero, California mayors were issued a special memo. Be sure you pay for your trip. Do not take a train trip for nothing.
Right.
I wonder. Well,
you know, it's interesting. We have that law to catch people on the small bribes, but on the big bribes, boy, those guys get away with it. No problem.
Well, you know, I have to give credit to an old friend of mine. We graduated from high school together. We dated. Later in life, it was around 2000. Donna had married a guy from Innkeepers of America. And she'd call me. She still lived in Chicago. And she'd call me at 6 in the morning to tell me what Ernest Hahn was going to do to us this week. And she'd say, well, you know, he's... first of all, she told me about the hotel and or the garage they built in Fresno, the one that had all the cracks in it. That's Ernest Hahn. And then she said, he's leading you guys down the primrose path, and he ain't going to let you go until he gets every dime out of you. And that's exactly the way it happened. And the rest of it, of course, with losing the land... you know, one of the lost opportunities with our downtown hotel, and it's interesting that you're telling me how they're filling the rooms, we could have purchased that hotel for $15 million. And that's a hell of a deal.
Yes, it is.
The top four floors could have been City Hall. We could have avoided going into partners with the people on the dark side over here, the county guys.
Right.
Getting into a partnership with them is always to their advantage, almost always.
Well, that's natural.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to make deals that are good for themselves.
Well, I understand.
Unless, of course, you're stupid.
Yeah.
I remember there was a saint when I was there. It's City Modesto and the House of Lords.
Oh. I called it the dark side. I had a story about we told them during our joint powers proposal that they'd have to pay for the water. And then they said, well, yeah, well, how about you guys? Why don't you pay for the water? Well, you got a point. Okay, we'll pay for the water. It's one pocket or another. Well, because of that, we started to having to pay water for all the golf courses. All the water the city was using had to be on the books. Okay.
Well, that was good, though, because it helps us determine how much we're losing on the golf courses.
Yeah, so anyhow, it's a little bit of dark humor, but I was asked how much the county should pay. And I said, well, I think they should pay more because I know they flush the toilets more often than we do. I don't think Ray Simon ever appreciated that. So
I'd never heard that before. That's an interesting comment.
A little dark humor. Anyhow, 10 o'clock Friday morning at City Hall, Economic Development Committee. We'll be back tomorrow at 11. But we will make some special effort to maybe even have a live podcast at chamber. Bruce, thanks again.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Dave. See you tomorrow.